I'm not sure, but I think the computer crashed. We constantly have issues with electronics. They're wonderful when they work, and they're challenging when they don't. Come on, let's give those folks back there in the back a hand of appreciation. Man. They said that with the storm this morning, several times it went off and on and went down, and there's always issues there. Well, we are in this series that I've entitled Base Camp, and I couldn't see real clear the video, but how many of you have challenges like that guy faces? No, we really don't. You know, sometimes putting perspective, what we have to face is a healthy thing for us. But this is part three of Base Camp, and in the series, I'm wanting to examine how living for God and being a follower of Jesus Christ isn't something we just float along with. It isn't for wimps. It is an experience that is kind of like conquering a mountain. We face obstacles and we face barriers and scaling heights to follow Christ and face those challenges and difficulties. But we should take heart this morning because these are a part of the faith journey and the development of my faith. Say that with me. It's a part of my development of my faith. It is a part of the development of my faith. See, so often we think, God, why am I having to face this? Well, if we'd stop and think that God takes and uses the things that we face to take and develop in us a strength of character and a faith and a fortitude that conquers mountains and kills giants spiritually and physically, then it will change our perspective. Go with me to the text today. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Father, I thank you today for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that presence of God. Lord, we've welcomed you. We've said, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And we've sensed, oh God, that you have command of the room this morning, Lord. You have come and you are in control. We thank you today, oh God, as we submit to your presence and we submit to your leading today. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that is already on the word that will, Lord, grip our hearts, change our lives, and Lord, just conform us to your image. Thank you for the mantle that falls upon me to preach the word and the mantle of God upon the hearers this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. There was this family and they had twin boys whose resemblance to each other was their looks. If one felt it was too hot, the other felt it was too cold. That's the only resemblance they had was their looks. They seemed to be opposite in everything else. One said if the TV was too loud, the other claimed that the volume needed to be turned up. Opposite in every way. One was the eternal optimist, and the other was all about the gloom and doom in any situation. So just to see what would happen, on Christmas Day, their father decided that he would load the pessimist's room with every imaginable toy that he could buy and every game that he could borrow and all that, and just pack this pessimist son's room with all of this stuff. He went by Christmas morning and he found his son sitting in the room amid his gifts, crying bitterly. Why are you crying? The father said. Because My friends will be jealous. I have to read all these instructions before I can do anything with this stuff. I'll constantly need batteries, and my toys will eventually get broken, he answered. There's the pessimist coming out in him, you know. I started to ask if maybe you knew somebody like that, but don't raise your hand because it could get you in trouble. Passing the optimist twins' room, the father found him dancing for joy in piles of hay that the father had just packed into that bedroom, all kinds of hay. And he said, "What are you so happy about?" To which the optimist twin replied, "With all of this hay, there's gotta be a pony in here someplace." As believers and dedicated followers of Jesus Christ, I believe there's a message in there for us that as believers, there's going to be some piles of hay at times in our room. And every mountain that we face and every hardship and every difficulty, if we've got, as it were, this attitude, there's a blessing in here someplace, there's got to be a pony in the midst of all of this. That's the attitude at the base camp of the mountain. It will change the altitude in which we live. You know, when we live at a different altitude, things are really different in our lives. And often our attitude will affect our altitude. So let's dig into this text this morning. First of all, I want you to note that climbing mountains and living in at a different altitude takes strength. Did you notice here? The Apostle Paul, in writing to the young man Timothy, says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Oh, let's say it right up front here. In order to be strong when you face a mountain, it takes grace. You know, some mountains are bigger than others. Some challenges are greater than others. But notice it's not your strength that Paul is saying to walk in when you face this mountain. Notice Paul clearly says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus when you face this mountain, when you face this difficulty, when you face this trial. And when you face some of these huge mountains, you really need grace. Can I hear an amen this morning? You know, grace is defined in a myriad of different ways, but one of the ways it's defined is that it is unmerited favor. I haven't earned it. It's something that is given to me in spite of what I'm doing, what I'm like, what I'm at. It's unmerited favor. So understand that to have this strength, understand that grace is a catalyst to growth. When we walk in grace, you see, we went to these tables this morning, and when we went to these tables, we went there. We could go there because of grace. And I don't know about you, but boy, after I've focused and remembering what Christ has done for me, it is a catalyst to growth in my life. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." You see, when we trust and we believe and we rest upon God's favor in facing the mountain, the trial, and you fill in the blank. What is the mountain that you face today? I want you to just stop right now. What is the biggest obstacle you're facing in life right now? And I want you to fill in the blank. Here is the mountain that I am facing, but God's grace is going to give me strength and is going to help me develop through this mountain to grow and develop in Him. Now, do you understand what the word catalyst means? A catalyst is an event or a person, or it can even be a chemical agent that causes change. You know, for young adults, getting kicked out of your parents' house might become a catalyst to become independent. The noun catalyst is something or someone that causes change. And God's desire is that whether the mountain is because of me or because of someone else's poor choices or but just because it's life, God's desire is that the mountain that I face, whether it's my own making or someone else's, that it is transformational for me. Now remember, back in the fall, the Lord spoke to my heart and said that 2018 at Abundant Life was going to be a year of transformation. Here we have an opportunity. Whatever this mountain that we are facing is to just step into it with God's grace and say, oh God, you're about to change me and do something powerful in me so you can do something through me so that you can do something beyond me. It's also important to know that God's grace not only is a catalyst to growth, but God's grace sustains us. Say that word. Sustains us in our trials and our mountain climbing. You know, Paul wrote to the church. He wrote to you and I in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. And he said, my God said to him, and he's repeating it in the scripture here, Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. I want to just put my finger right there on that verse for a moment and pause. I have to confess to you that sometimes when I face mountains and I see my weaknesses, I don't boast or rejoice in them. God, why do I have to do this? Why is this happening to me? You know, but here Paul is saying that when I face that mountain, I ought to say, oh, this is an opportunity for God and God's work in my life so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And verse 10 says, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in my weakness, in insults, and hear it, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How am I strong? In his grace. That's how I'm strong. That's the catalyst to sustain me. So when you're facing a mountain, lean into his grace. Pray, God, I thank you that your power will be displayed, made perfect in this, and name the mountain or the hardship, and your grace is sufficient. It is more than enough for me. Next, I want you to observe with me that mountain climbing and living in a different altitude takes reliability as well as teachability. Look at verse 2, Timothy 2. Entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. You see, when you climb a mountain, it takes trust, doesn't it? You know, you've got to trust the equipment. Thanks to shout out to Pastor Sam here. Man, I don't know how you'd put this thing on. I think it would go like this. I think that you would step. Nah, I'm going to do that right now. But I think this is the harness that goes around you, and then your legs fit through this. And then there's this carabiner that's hooked up to this thing that's around the waist, and it's got a woven strap with several other carabiners for being able to hook onto and to grasp. And you've got to trust this if you're going to climb a rock wall, if you're going to go up a cliff. You've got to trust and say, this is reliable. And I want to tell you, there are several levels in this in scaling a mountain. We need to be reliable, the abundant life. And God is doing that here. We need to be reliable believers when others are scaling a mountain. How do we be reliable? Boy, we're there for them. Tonight's the last Connect group. And boy, I thank God for the relationships that have been built through Connect groups. That's part of what that's all about, being there for one another. We are the body of Christ. And that intercession that I've told you about in that prayer wall, when we pray for one another, we're reliable. But God also wants to do something in us to make us reliable and trustworthy. You know, reliability, verse 2 there, is a quality and a skill that is developed. You are not born with it. Hello. Reliability is caught and taught. You aren't born with this trait. It is caught and taught. Now, I know some people have more of a propensity towards it, but it is something that you can learn even if you don't have a propensity towards it. That's what being transformed is all about. And so, you know, God wants to do some things within us and make us a reliable people. You know, I experienced firsthand this thing about reliability after being in a tree over 200 feet in northern Ohio with a chainsaw in one hand, trimming the top out of this tree, lowering branches. And we didn't have a safety harness. We would not have been OSHA approved. You know, there wasn't any clip or anything like that. It was just, you hang on for dear life. There's a rope there. You cut this limb off and all of this. I wish video had been back then. Even as I was doing this, I thought I'd love to have had a video of this thing showing it to you. So I was up in this tree for 3.5 hours. It's huge ash, mountain ash. I don't think I'm exaggerating. It was like this. I couldn't get my arms all the way around it. The first limb on this tree was bigger than most trees in North Texas. And we had to just trim everything. It was in a backyard, power lines, houses everywhere, to kind of whittle it down to size. So after 3.5 hours up in this tree, I was exhausted. And I was saying, man, Dad, I may have to sit here for a few minutes.